Okay, Roxanne, I'll just do an introduction here.
Okay.
Okay. The foreclosure crisis also includes renters who are facing eviction because the buildings they live in are being foreclosed. One community organization, City Life Vita Urbana, located in the Boston area of Massachusetts, has a mission to help communities control their local resources. And it does so by participating in many community struggles, from labor rights, education issues, to housing issues. It has made it its mission to stop the evictions that have been infiltrating the working class and is working to help post-foreclosure renters. Its successful strikes and eviction blockings in the past have made the organization highly visible with tenants, landlords, urban planners, and public officials. On the telephone with me is Roxanne McKinnon, Executive Director of City Life Vita Urbana. Welcome to the show, Roxanne.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your current program of post-foreclosure eviction blockades.
Yep.
What are these eviction blockades, and why did you get involved in this?
Yeah, well, it started off about 18 months ago when tenants started to come through our doors with rent checks, not sure who to send their rent to, because the buildings had transferred over from private owners to banks or servicers because they had been foreclosed. And it was at the point where an eviction notice was received by the tenants that they first even got notice that the building they were living in had been foreclosed.
Mm-hmm.
So we started trying to reach the owners, who were the banks, to try to negotiate, because we believe that people who are living in foreclosed property should be able to pay rent and stay. We were unable to do that. So what we...
Well, tell me more about why you're unable to negotiate with the bankers.
Yeah, one of the first sort of confrontations or questioning was Deutsche Bank is actually a large bank that owns a great deal of property, and we had had a lot of people coming in whose property had been foreclosed, tenants and owners, by Deutsche Bank. We attempted to reach a somebody to negotiate with to find out if, you know, these people could pay rent, you know, they need to stay, and there was no one who was claiming any responsibility. So basically we were up against a policy of banks and servicers not wanting to be landlords, but if they didn't want to be landlords, they shouldn't have invested in predatory loans, because now that has placed them in the position to be some very large landlords in urban areas, and there's some responsibility. So we teach tenants about their rights to use the court system. We do a lot of outreach. We have a new campaign, actually, that started a few weeks ago called the No One Leaves campaign, which is using a large number of volunteers to go to foreclosed properties and to let people know what their rights are.
That's good.
And that there is some support available to them. We then look for possibilities that would keep the resident in place, and sometimes that looks like just, you know, the resident being able to pay market rent. Sometimes it looks like someone willing to purchase the building while people are in there, you know, still in there.
And you try to actually seek this out?
Yeah, we seek out these solutions because the solutions are out there despite what the banks say. So then we offer these solutions to the bank as an alternative to the eviction, so that there's a choice that's presented to them. If that doesn't, you know, if there's nobody hearing that, and if the bank is not willing to negotiate, that's the point, and the point when after people receive the 48-hour notice, which is the last sort of legal point of, you know, you have no more alternatives, that and only then do we decide to do the peaceful eviction blockades, which really are community challenges in response to the displacement that doesn't have to be.
And tell me what happens in your blockades.
People will chain themselves to the property or block access of the constable, making it as difficult as possible, not agreeing to what's happening, right? And then people are arrested for trespass. It then becomes a court case. Where there's at least a face of the bank that's visible, but it becomes a court case for trespass.
And what usually happens? The person has to leave? Does the court rule in favor of the building?
You know, we've had very little. I mean, we've had maybe fines to pay. My sense is that people understand the significance and the scale of the problem. And as I said, it's peaceful civil disobedience, and part of a democracy is the right to do peaceful civil disobedience. So
Do you find that the sheriffs that come out to take the possessions away, are they sympathetic? Are they? Do they feel harried?
Yeah, we've not had any aggressive, no aggressive response. I mean, our target really is the bank and this policy that says that buildings that have been foreclosed need to be empty buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense business-wise of why you would want buildings to sit empty and not generate any income. It doesn't make sense on a community level of why you would want to add to the 7,000 homeless in this city anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make social, it's bad social policy because having empty abandoned buildings is not doing a community any good, and it starts to bring its own related problems, as well as overall it cuts down on the amount of housing that's available.
Mm-hmm.
In a significant way.
Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that these issues get highlighted, and you try to reframe this whole issue to make
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, what are some of the things that tenants usually don't understand about their legal rights?
Tenants usually don't understand that they have a legal right to go to court, and that only the judge in the housing court can evict. I think many people get notices and they get their doors knocked on, you know, with people offering them $200 to move out. I think people don't understand that the notices that they sign, those agreements that they sign, they've actually signed away their rights.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are condition issues, if there is any problem going on, they've signed that right away to have that heard in court. I think most people don't understand that. But I think probably the deepest thing is that people become afraid. People don't understand that it's only the judge that can evict, and that people do not have to move until a judge tells them that they have to move and that they have a right to the legal system.
So when a sheriff or somebody comes out to remove all the belongings of a renter, there's a court order.
There's a court order, and it's after a relatively long process of going to court. There has been a whole process in place before that.
Mm-hmm.
But a sheriff will not come out. It's not, at least I don't know the laws for all of the states, but I would imagine that there's parallel laws. There's a law, your belongings can't be put out on the street, the lock can't be changed on your door, that there's a whole process for what qualifies as a legal eviction if it gets to that point.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us how people can get a hold of you and your organization if they're interested in also developing a program of these blockades.
Yeah, they can reach us at 617-524-3541 and ask for myself. My name is Roxanne, or Steve, or Soledad, or Jim, or actually just about any of the staff. We would be able to help you. And we do have a website, although it's in the process of being reworked at this point, but I will give you that address too. And that would be www.clvu.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great. Providence, Rhode Island is starting the similar model of starting a bank tenant association, which is the model that we're using here. I think that, you know, cities, towns, it's a national issue. Our, you know, what we're saying and our response has had some success, that it could be a national response. I just, you know.
And I think you mentioned at one point in a previous conversation that that one of your blockades actually succeeded in getting a bank to negotiate with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually we've had several successes. Most have been with third-party purchase at appraised value, which is the other thing we're seeing, is that the held mortgage value is about two times what the actual current appraised
mm-hmm.
value is.
Yeah.
And once it comes down to the appraised value, it becomes more viable to purchase either as an individual or as a nonprofit purchase of the properties. So yes, we have had successes, you know, which has been heartening. Not as many as we would like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, it will, you know, take. There's a law that it's at the State House, which would protect people living in these homes from unjust or no cause evictions in bank owned or servicer owned property. Specifically to stop this problem of what's happening, the scale that it's happening on.
So you're
seeing 3,000 evictions in Boston in 2008 and 30,000 evictions statewide in 2008. That's a huge number.
Huge number. And the state is considering such a bill? What do you think, what, in your opinion, do you think the solution to this crisis is at this point?
I think passing a law that says that there can't be eviction without just cause, that would be, you know, that's the most logical, simple, common sense approach to this, is to allow people to stay in these buildings and pay rent. The question, you know, it's a sort of an easy question to answer, of whether or not a property is worth more when it's sitting empty and not generating any income versus a property that's housing a family who needs a home and that is generating a rental income. Given those two choices, it just seems like a kind of a simple question to answer of what would be the best choice here.
And let me ask you one more thing. Has it occurred to any of the tenants to form to try to get together and buy the house themselves?
Yes, that is one scenario that actually is in the works right now, where we had a multi-unit building. Most of the buildings we work in are multi-unit buildings, and there were siblings on each floor. Collectively, they were able to purchase a house at appraised value. This has been a nine-month struggle, and I believe negotiations are going on right now for that to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was after two eviction blockades.
My goodness. Well, congratulations.
And thank you.
Thank you so much for the good work that you're doing.
Thank you very much.
It's very heartening, and thanks very much for coming on the show.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much,
bye-bye.
Rosanne. Bye-bye.